Tribe, Warrior Wellness and Life World with Reverend Pastor Mike Kim. I want to give a huge thanks to Warfighter Radio Network for having me on. I am the pastor for Veterans Virtual Fellowship. We are a online as well as, you know, in-person live church ministry, and we are open to many things, but our central focus here is partnering up to help vets with Warfighter Radio Network tonight, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Please be open to the vet community, and please be accountable to what you do and say, because we all try to help each other's lives collectively and individually. And so we're always looking at being mindful of our actions and making sure that we're not passing out just our own agendas and without looking at the souls and the minds of all involved. So we're so thankful for being part of this community, and also the number of guests. We've got over nearing 70 episodes. It's just fantastic that we've had different guests, and we've had different expressions of help, and we've also had different ways of healing through the radio show. And tonight we've got a special guest, Prudence Coffey. She'll be coming on later on. Before we get to our guest, let me pass out an Easter message to veterans and those who support veterans and those who are linked to veterans, either via friendship, via family, etc., loved ones. Let's just say that the Easter message that I hand out is nothing connected to any pagan idolatry. If anything, the Easter message is more symbolic to community and renewal, and recognizing that we have an opportunity to grow in our souls and in our minds and in our friendships towards each other. And that's the essence of Easter. Although different cultures have used different ways of expressing different beliefs connected to Easter, some have been corrupted, some have been renewed and enhanced. And I think that our expression of the holiday or the special day called Easter is something that looks more at community and life-giving activity, as well as soul-searching and transformation. And I think this is a wonderful place to find all these things, because within the veteran reality, it can be very dark, and it's hard at times to see and find light in our hopeless situations that we can encounter along the journey after leaving the military or after coming back from a deployment. And so I just I'm grateful that I have a community that I can rely on. I got wonderful folks, Terry Nichols, the producer of Warfighter Radio Network, as well as her staff on GSI, just does incredible things for veterans. And you can get on the Facebook page of Warfighter Radio Network and find out more information regarding the network, the number of shows that come on, the diverse shows that enhance the meaning of veteran advocacy and veteran information. You'll find those shows on the Warfighter Radio Network Facebook wall. Two shows that I'm really connected to. They're all great shows. I'm not just saying that, but you know, when I have time, you know, outside of being a dad and doing pastoral calls and working with vets day to day, you know, when I have the time to listen, and also outside of ministry, I you know, I can't help but Saturday nights, Brad Stevens show, Guardian Talk. It's from 9 to 11 Central Standard Time. And yeah, and on Saturday mornings with Justin Snodgrass, he's got Warrior Outdoors. That's a good show. That's like at around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Or 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm not too sure, but go on there. That's a two-hour show. I usually, you know, I follow the 11 Eastern Standard Time, and that's a great two-hour show on regarding the outdoors and all these great folks that really have helped me on many levels. Jeremy Wallace with his A Soldier's Heart ministry that's out, you know, helping vets, and the chaplain that he has on there, Pastor Hopkins, and we got folks from GSI, Angelie, Leticia, Shannon, several others that are just totally, totally convinced that it's an important thing to help out vets, and I'm just very grateful all those that give their hearts to the veteran cause and give and give and give and are not like looking for the great reward, and that's a wonderful thing. Last night on Guardian Talk, a man that I highly respect, he's a good friend as well as a great veteran advocate. He's an attorney, well-accomplished attorney, Derek Storms. He was on Guardian Talk, and you have access to that show. All you have to do is go on the Warfighter Radio Network and check that up, and see what's going on there in regards to the latest with veteran advocacy, cutting edge, Storms is up to, and also you also get to know more about what Chief Woody up in New England is doing. He's also a great advocate for veterans. Again, I feel that it's a wonderful kind of thing happening with veterans when we see people from all different circles coming together to help veterans and the veteran cause. All that being said, I'm grateful for this time and our guest who's going to be talking about renewal, transformation, and you know, different meanings regarding Easter is Prudence Coffee. And I'd like to have her say a couple things about herself and go on and continue on with the show. Prudence, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, Prue. I really appreciate you coming on board again. You've been a guest several times, and you've given such great, insightful messages to our veteran community. And you've worked with some of my blacked out questions, which I really appreciate, with your patience and your tolerance. And yeah, I want you to, you know, say a couple words about yourself, and then we can go on to you know, some messaging of hope that you have for us.
All right. Well, you know, this time of year is very special to me. I think a lot of people like spring because you do think of, you know, things blossoming and becoming colorful, full of life, you know, especially in regions like ours in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
But also, you know, it ties in with Easter for those who celebrate.
Yeah.
And it has a personal meaning for me because some know mm-hmm. and some don't that I was a longstanding type 1 diabetic. And as a result, I had secondary issues that commonly accompany it, with things like retinopathy, you know, problems with the eyes, kidney disease, nerve disease. So eventually what happened in 2006, you know, I was working 16-hour days, and I was teaching, I was counseling, going to school. And I made it to earn my national certification and get my degree and get my hours. And after the school year ended, I went on a vacation with my husband to celebrate for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I started feeling not too good. The last day, I stayed in the room. And as soon as I came home, 2 days later, I was curled up on the floor, and my kidneys had failed.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, although I had done some interviewing and thought I had a pretty good spot in the school as a school counselor, I, you know, life kind of threw a little monkey wrench in that. So instead, I started dialysis.
Mm.
And and that started me, basically, it was the end of a chapter for me, but it was the beginning of a whole new branch of my life. Mm-hmm. And some would say it's horrible, but I look back on it and I learned so much and I grew a lot. And so with dialysis, it was in my nature. I was always trying to engage people in the waiting room. They became like another family, which is typical. But, you know, we would sit, we would share recipes, joke around, talk about stuff. And being, you know, having the health issues that I did and do, I really relate to aging people and others with kidney, you know, and diabetes issues. So anyway, I ended up having a transplant, a kidney and a pancreas in 2008, and it was on Good Friday. And so that's why this time of year is extra special for me, because it was a miracle. Like I had diabetes for 30 years, and I also have epilepsy, and dialysis was pulling my epilepsy medication out and causing me to see some. It was a mess. And so I had this transplant, and when I woke up, I didn't have diabetes anymore, and I could have liquids again. And at first, I was hooked up to tubes and stuff, which was a little weird, but I was expecting it. I went home within 5 days. I mean, it was a miracle. It really was a miracle. My color returned, my energy returned, you know, and they had me up in walking scene, and I went home in 5 days.
What would you say is the biggest, when you look at your life and your involvement with all of this transformation and healing and pain, as far as your work with veterans, how did you get tied into it, and what kind of drives you to be such a powerful advocate for veterans?
Well, there's a little more to that story. I know that you're aware that also I didn't get that transplant soon enough to save my life. So I ended up becoming a double amputee, started in 2009, the following year. So needless to say, I knew, like, you know, where all the good spots were in the hospital, the good floors, the good eateries. So I'm thankful I had a supportive family, but, you know, I started losing limbs. And that spanned from 2009 until 2011. And there were, you know, from the immune system issues when you get a transplant, you know, there were hard times and infections and all. But you know what? I'm grateful for my humor and my attitude, because basically, physically, I might be beaten, but I read once that someone said, you know, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. And I think that is how I was able to manage through it all. And so once I healed up and was going to physical therapy and had my prosthetics, I couldn't stand the thought of not using my skills, my knowledge, or even my heart to help others. You know, I've always been a worker. I couldn't not work. So I thought of that. And, you know, I'm very patriotic. I come from a family full of veterans. And so I decided, okay, which direction am I going to go? Because I can't like chase a kid down a school hallway anymore or carry testing supplies, you know, up steps, you know, boxes up steps and stuff without holding on. So what will I do? And that's when I decided I'm going to help veterans.
So that's powerful.
Yeah. And that's how I got started. And I started out as basically a post and meme maker at Battle and Distress. I was grateful for that opportunity. And I went from there and ended up GSI and Warfighter Radio Network. And it's been incredible. I've learned things about others and, you know, definitely veterans and myself that they can't teach you in any school. There's no class for that.
I totally agree with you on that. I mean, my work with veterans, I've learned a lot from you. I've learned a lot from Terry and the rest of the folks on with GSI and Warfighter Radio Network and in other groups. It's just I keep on using a wonderful thing. But for me, that's how I describe it. I don't care if folks think I'm a bit hokey for using that kind of language, but it's meaningful because I know that I'm tied to a community. This isn't just talk, you know, and I know the different things that you've done and Terry and the rest just have really made a difference in people's lives. And so that's such a, not just a wonderful thing, but it's a powerful thing. It inspires others. And through the work, I'm able to bring on others doing the great advocacy work that's needed.
Yeah. It's, it's strange because I feel honored that I was accepted into, you know, the veteran world as a civilian. But between my family and a basic understanding and a whole lot of gratitude, you know, I think that it was a good fit for me because I had the basics of counseling and non-disclosure issues and ethics, and yet I had some similar experiences, not as far as like combat or battle or that sort of training, but in terms of, you know, amputation and health concerns. You know, I felt like I should have, you know, be a medical doctor. I know way too much, you know, just from experience about nerves and, you know, I've had a TBI and a trach and, you know, been comatose. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I can relate to. And I think that's worth something. And I think that's part of the reason that people accepted me.
No doubt. And not only that, I think you have a wonderful way of just communicating different things. I know I've spoken to you about different veteran issues. I've also had you on the show, and you've been able to talk to different people. Insightful to get your perspective on things and sharing your journey within doing veteran work, and also your journey of being, you know, a healer, as a counselor, and also of you sharing the pain, like a lot of like other veterans, you've had a lot of pain in your life, yet you haven't had it define you. And so part of that Easter message, you know, asking you what helps you not just kind of give up. I mean, what, you know, because I know I was really spending a lot of time talking to you a little while ago, and then lost contact because of what life happens. But you were going through like the fitting regarding different things for your situation, and with as being an amputee with the prosthetics, and you're just like a hard charger, like you're a warrior on so many different levels. And I was just wondering, like, what you know, what feeds that? I guess, you know, out of all the questions, you know, I've come down to that.
Well, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I wanted to, you know, present, because I think it's applicable to, you know, all veterans. And no matter what your situation is, that, you know what, it's, this life is full of new beginnings and fresh starts. And sometimes just when you think you know, that like, this is it, I'm done. You know, just like with me and my job, you know what, maybe it's not the end. Maybe it's a new beginning of something different. And it's sometimes we get taken down roads we didn't necessarily plan to go down. But you know what, there's always something, some, you know, golden nugget down that road, no matter what it is, whether it's, they're teachers in disguise. Hardships, I've always said this, are teachers in disguise. Maybe you learn what you don't want to do. You know, maybe you think about something, you know, maybe you need to shake something, you know, loose. Sometimes it's a toxic person. Sometimes it's even just clutter, the clutter in your soul, clutter in your house. Lately, I've been cleaning things out, and I look at things, and I'm like, does this bring me joy? And if the answer is no, then I think, you know, who can I get it to that it might bring joy to? And that makes me really happy, you know, and it reduces the clutter in my mind, and it reduces the clutter in my house. But you know what? I'm pretty hard-pressed, and I know that all different veterans have all different situations as far as their living situation or their health. But you know what? You still always have a choice. Remember we talked about, I think I told you about my frame analogy? You know, I think life's like a frame. You might get
can you please share that again? I'm sorry.
I think life is like a frame. You know, you might get a big gold gilding frame, or you might get a kind of shabby looking little driftwood frame. But it's up to you what you're going to fill your frame with. So some people might have a very long life with lots of gifts and health and wealth or whatever, and so some of us get a little driftwood version. But you know what? It's still up to you what you're going to paint that frame with. You know, you can choose to put big gray and black splotches everywhere, you know, or you can paint beautiful things in it.
Yeah, that's that comes down to a lot of the choices we make, right? And how we see things.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think too that, you know, people need to be careful. Don't listen to everything you tell yourself. You know, your self-talk's important. And sometimes it's often, you know, sometimes your self-talk, someone else says something to you long enough, you start saying it to yourself. Well, maybe it's not right. You should engage, you know, things that you think about yourself, they should be good. And you know what? If you see something, this could be part of your change. Is there something that you're doing or saying that doesn't kind of line up with the kind of self, you know, like, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good person and, you know, and I'm easy to get along with. Well, is that true? You know, are you doing something that's maybe not something a good person would do? You know, and if you are, well, maybe rethink it. Just because you were doing something yesterday doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow. You can change it right now. It doesn't even have to, I don't, like, to me, New Year's is wonderful, but that's not a fresh start. I have fresh starts all the time.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll find myself 2 and 3 hours into a day, and I'm still drinking coffee and thinking, you know, I really shouldn't, like, I'm like still in my pajamas. I guess I should put the legs on and move. And you know what? It's not too late. I do it.
So that's a message that's priceless, because we don't have to give in the hard times we experience, right? And the cards that were dealt in many ways from the past, but We can seek, you know, and I don't want to sound hokey again, you know, we can do everything we can, right, to try to seek new cards, to seek a new future, to seek new behaviors, new thoughts that will take us into a better place.
Yes. You know, I don't think anyone is destined to be a certain way. I don't think anyone's destined to be just like one of their parents. You might have, you know, genetic predispositions to certain preferences and things like that. It's okay to say, you know, I really liked these parts about my mother, and I really liked these things about my father, and I'm going to remember those and incorporate them. But if there's something, you know, in your family that you don't want to be, you don't have to be.
Right. And that also involves looking at different things from the military that I don't know, changed you in a certain way, and you just have to distance yourself in many ways, not in all ways, but in many ways you can distance yourself from certain violent realities that you were exposed to, things mirroring that, certain unseen things that are not usual within daily life in America, where you've got certain laws, and I'm not saying that America's perfect. I'm just saying that that, you know, you don't walk to a Walmart and get exposed to a rocket attack, or you don't walk down a 7-Eleven and just see dead bodies of children. Whereas when you were in the military, you may have been exposed to that. And I guess all I'm saying is that as far as processing these things, there's hope to transcend that reality that you lived, and that takes time, and it ain't easy, but, you know, part of the show is looking at how we can try to work with some of that.
Right. You know, that reminds me of a conversation I had with a veteran friend recently, and we discussed that some people will, you know, I always like think about traumas and a lot of, you know, happenings and things that you need to kind of overcome, you know, if you are able to deal with it properly and then kind of put it in a little container and put it in the back of your storage of your brain, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. So you can move forward and be, you know, make positive decisions and choices. But I think some people get in a hurry and they kind of do the cheater way that ends up not working in the end, where instead of processing through those memories and the hurt, they just stuff it in the container anyway and in the back of your brain, but then it pops open later, you know? It pops open later and comes back to bother them in a variety of ways. So, you know, that might be someone's new start right there. You know, what bothers me on some level that I haven't addressed? Maybe address it, you know, pull it out, give it a face like a Muppet, you know, give it a personality, you know, deal with it. Like, hey, what's, you know, why are you bothering me?
What would you say are some basic ways that someone can do that? I mean, can work with these different thoughts and feelings, because I respect a lot of your clinical judgment. You went to a very good school of counseling, Loyola. You're also, you know, the credential that you have is very respectable. And not only that, you're a very humane person, a person of faith, and a person that has been on the road less traveled. You know, what do you think are some basic things someone who's hurting can kind of pursue?
Well, of course, I'd like to talk about some things outside of, you know, going to see a professional. Before I get into that, though, I will tell you that I have a history of depression, but there is a big difference between having depression and suffering from depression. So, I mean, it's kind of understandable how I may have become depressed. You know, it's hard, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with, all of these changes. You know, but the thing is, and I kept denying I was depressed, but the social worker told me, like, you're crying a lot. And I'm like, okay. So, so the difference, all right, so basically I have depression and I take a medication for it. I was able to lower that dose over some time. But by taking the medication, I'm not suffering. And, you know, so there's a big difference. I have it. I know I have it. I'm not ashamed. I'm no more to ashamed that I, you know, have had clinical depression than I am to say I had diabetes. You know, it's not a character flaw. It's a condition. So... So anyway, so I would like to say, if there's anyone that believes that, you know, he or she may be clinically depressed, like not just the case of the blues, but depressed, maybe you should, you know, consider it. And only you and your doctor could probably decide which amount or type of medication is best for you. And I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified for any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the show is not, and the show is not meant for, you know, we're not giving any kind of clinical advice or anything like that. This is just general information that we try to pass out to the veteran community.
Like,
and that's,
like, you know, maybe,
you know,
try that.
We're just helping you. We're just helping everyone, when I say you, the audience, to have awareness, because that's all of this show. You know, we pray for people. We link people to services, you know. But the show is meant for just to give a message of hope, you know, to others. And that's all we can really offer, you know. But it sounds small, but it's big, because I've heard a lot of people that have listened and said, hey, you know, I've heard the show, and that made me get in contact with my doctor who I lost contact with, or helped me get in touch with, you know, a family member that, you know, I broke ties with, or help me, you know, get in touch with, you know, a resource for help. So if we could do that, you know, then we're doing our job. You know, we're just a community of faith that really just tries to use the practical, you know. And when I say the practical, someone like Prudence and myself, who may have a spiritual background as well as a clinical background, to just pass on information. And we appreciate you being open to it. Let me ask you this, Prudence. What would you say if someone was, like, afraid to, you know, venture? Again, this is like a general question. If they were afraid, or they felt maybe it would be against their spirituality to maybe look at, you know, counseling. What would you say someone can do to kind of, like, have a wider perspective on that?
Well, as far as, you know, spirituality, to me, that's, you know, quite divided from religion. I mean, they may be mm-hmm. intertwined at points, but, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has their own thing, and, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. You know, I kind of feel a little eclectic myself because I like mm-hmm. a bit of how this religion works and a little bit of that. But overall, I think that it's good to evaluate yourself, you know, within your situation, within your, you know, your religion or lack thereof, and just look at your life and do a self-evaluation. Like, am I happy? Mm. Start with that. Am I happy? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is, well, not really, or maybe it's like, well, in generally, yes, but there's something bugging me, and I'm not sure what it is. Think about it. Now, this is something anybody can do. You know, you got to mention yourself and think about it. Like, I mean, if there's something major bothering you, it's probably easy to identify. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a thing. Maybe it's the person. Maybe you keep staring at something hanging on your wall and it's bugging you, you don't like it anymore. You know, maybe it's time to do something different. You know, a lot of this stuff, I mean, can be very basic. You know, I actually find cleaning therapeutic, mm-hmm. you know, especially, you know, sometimes I'm on, you know, crutches, and sometimes I'm in a chair. So, you know, I like to keep things convenient, easy to reach. And so if I find something's bugging me about some way something's organized, you know, I change it, you know, mm-hmm. and as far as getting a fresh start for somebody else, you know, maybe if somebody is toxic to you, you'll know, because they'll make you feel bad about yourself or question mm-hmm. yourself. You know, and maybe find some better friends. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be mm-hmm. cruel or rude, but maybe find some better friends. The people right. who say nice things to you that are true, but bring out the best in you, that's your mm-hmm. tribe. Maybe try to connect with those people more often.
Mm-hmm. I always thought, oh, just because I'm a vet, I have to have friends that are just vets. And I learned that some of the vets that I've had as friends may not look at friendship like, you know, folks that I truly helped, you know. And again, I want no recognition for it or anything, nor do I expect anything, but I'm just like, you know, how can you treat me this way, you know? I just cannot believe, you know, the different things that I was involved with at Columbia University, where I go to school at, and I was just trying to help people, and it was like, you know, doggone it, they'd smile at my face 1 second, and next thing you know, they're throwing daggers at me, and, you know, it's just really interesting. And then I just started to accept, well, this is where they are in their lives, and I don't need to be a part of it. And it's interesting, you know, their toxic behavior follows them, and it's, you know, I don't have to be a part of it. And I can make other types of friends and be part of other different groups. And when I let go of that, again, you know, not that all those who go to school there are bad, but just those toxic elements. And I got out of that and you know, stayed with my pals, truth out. Yeah, I feel, yeah, just like what you're saying, you know, I was able to be really, you know, honest with myself. And like you said, I appreciated those things that people were saying about me that were honest, you know, and just like you said, the key word is honest. And I don't know, it was very liberating. So there again, you know, some of the advice that's helpful for other people. And I know I've shared with you some of that pain, and you've been a pal to kind of listen and also give me advice regarding that, you and Terry and others. And yeah, I don't have to.
That's what friends do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, back to our point. Have good friends like the Rev here. You know, listen and honestly have your best mm-hmm. well-being and good intentions
mm-hmm.
another thing, I guess this is kind of mm-hmm. tied in too, is it's important to
mm-hmm.
say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I would rather someone dislike me because I told them what I really thought than to
mm-hmm.
You know, say what I think they want to hear, you know, and not be true to
mm-hmm.
myself. You know, it's important to be true to yourself.
Well, you're inspiring me to look at, like, the narrative of Easter, right? I mean, the true narrative of Easter is, I think that whether you like it or not, the story of Jesus, you know, being a victim of violent I guess trial and conviction of something that just was taken out of context, you know, for someone who was really trying to help people, and that became such a powerful story that it lingered and it spread. And And it teaches us, you know, how sad it can be that humans can be so mean, and the truth of that exists, and yet there's still hope, because that's that message that we've been talking about, that Easter message of renewal, is like present. And yeah, I'm glad you inspired me to think of that.
You know, it's funny. I read, it's actually so mean, but I liked it. It said hope is when, you know, the world says, like, no way, and a little voice inside you says, maybe. And I like that. And because, you know what, I've always believed that, you know, it's not over until you say it's over. You know,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to you. Your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, you know, goes back to even the Lord's Prayer. Again, I'm not preaching at people. I'm just preaching, but, you know, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that's like a powerful message that Christ passes on to human beings to look at when they pray. And it's linked to the themes that we're talking about.
Like, for instance, you know, I'll never say never on much, but, you know, I'm probably not going to be, you know, in the, like, a Paralympian. Probably not. You know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I've had people tell me that I'll never walk unassisted. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and again, that's there's that little voice in me like, well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. that's your professional opinion, but we'll see. Maybe
right.
I will.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
I'm so grateful for you to share that. Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that's good to remember, let's say you want to, you know, change some things in your life. It could be a little thing. It doesn't have to be like a huge, you know, you don't have to like, I mean, some people do relocate to another state, in another country, to completely have a fresh start. You know, it doesn't have to be that dramatic stuff. It could be maybe change up your morning routine. You know, maybe decide, okay, I'm going to be a little more effective. For people who work a lot, you know, or get up early already, maybe squeeze in just 5 minutes to sit and have a cup of tea or coffee and just contemplate. Think about your day. Mm-hmm. Or think about what was good about yesterday. So maybe switch up your routine. Or for those people who are more like me who stay up too late and then get up later, you know, maybe I should get up an hour earlier and do some stretches and stuff like that, and just kind of like start off in a more productive way. Like, I have been giving thought to that. Like, maybe I should structure my day a little bit, you know, because right now it's pretty much out of the seat of my pants. So, you know, so that's another thing that you could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, well, that follows up with the message that Admiral McRaven, the Navy SEAL, you know, Special Operations, you know, JSOC commander, I think, or, you know, he was one big commander, but he gave his graduation address to the University of Texas, Austin, a couple of years ago, and he basically told, you know, and this was like for civilians and for veterans, and military people, he basically said, you know, make your bed, you know, get up and make your bed. And I think he was just like saying that metaphorically in line with what you're saying, you know, the day with something, you know, to do something. And I guess that momentum can be very helpful for the rest of the day. And that will help you with other things.
Yeah. Sometimes I literally think to myself, like, you know what? Do something, do anything, like organize something or clean out some files or just something, you know, just get moving. And it works, you know, gets me jump started. Next thing I know, I'm, you know, doing other stuff. And, you know, so I think it's a good practice. And so, that, you know, there's just so many ways to have fresh starts. You know, maybe take up a new hobby, and it doesn't have to be an expensive one. You know, maybe yes, maybe right. You know what? One of the most therapeutic things that I think I tell people to do is journal or write the story of your life.
Yeah.
Because everyone is necessarily the hero of his own life. And so write your story from your viewpoint. You know, do it in a journal. Write a real book.
Yeah. The research behind expressive writing for healing is just incredible. I'm glad you mentioned that. But yeah, folks, you should just Google expressive writing, as well as do what Prudence is suggesting. Just write anything, and see where that leads you, because that can lead you to aspects of your life that can be revealing on many levels.
Yeah, that's great. I have one buddy, and he's like, oh, I just sketched it. I'm like, hey, that's really cool. And he's like, did you draw that? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I was just doodling. Meanwhile, he's beautiful, beautiful art. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, just drew it on a napkin.
Wow.
So I saved it and actually had, like, note cards made out of it. So, yeah, it's like people, you know, sometimes take for granted gifts they have. You know, so stuff like that. I mean, sketch. You know, if you have a picture in your mind, put it on a piece of paper. You know, even if you're not the greatest illustrator, you know, use stick figures, you know. But sometimes if you just, like, draw it like you see it in your mind, you know, I don't know, somehow it helps you to process it. If it's super upsetting, I'm sure we've all heard the thing of, like, write a list of your problems, draw that picture, crumple it up, and throw it away. Yeah, but somehow just the art of, you know, writing and drawing and, you know, just the motion of it and the thought process, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I said, I think a lot of people are so spend way too much time focusing on managing their material belongings that they kind of miss out on the larger, you know, the larger meaning of life. So maybe
you
think about that.
You say that, and it just helps me think of the Easter scripture, the whole thing about material. And I want you to talk more about this. And again, I'm not preaching at you, the audience, congregation, what have you. I'm just preaching in general for goodwill. And that is,
you can preach if you want. Go ahead.
I will. From Luke 24, verses 2-3, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And when you were talking about that whole thing about material, that's like, you know, the scripture just like really spoke to me, because it's like, you know, they rolled, you know, the stone from the tomb, that material, you know, that stone is material. And they did not, you know, when they looked for the material body of the Lord, it wasn't there, you know. And that's the whole thing behind resurrection, newness, and all that, that it goes beyond what simply is material.
Right. Things that are, like, touchable, physical,
Right? And not being so, you know, people were just, like, wanting to look at the body, right? Just like what you're saying. People focus on, like, the material, but there's more to it than that in our daily lives. And, I mean, we don't need Easter. Easter helps us remember, but we should be focused on less, you know, material obsessing throughout our daily life.
Yeah, like stuff. Yeah. I mean, there are certain things. You know me, I enjoy my coffee. I think my IP
Yeah.
If I didn't have my coffee beans, I'd be awful sad. But I'm just talking about, like, you know, I mean, it's okay if you have little things here and there you like. But I've never been, like, an expensive jewelry person. You know, I got a titanium band when we got married. That's what I wanted. You know, I would rather watch flowers growing outside than have them indoors. I'm that person. I'm going to name drop. I don't often name drop, but I'll tell you who I think really gets it is Mark Donegan.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mark Donegan because, you know what, he's not really big into owning things, but he's very big into enjoying everything. So, you know, and like his family, appreciating things. You know, so I think, you know, I admire that about him. You know, but, you know, it's like, seriously, I think it really varies, too, from person to person. What kind of fresh start do they need? Do they need a personal fresh start just within themselves? Do they need a fresh start in their relationship that they have? Or do they need to leave it because it's toxic? Do they need a new relationship? You know, do they, they need to jumpstart a career? But, you know, I think for most of us, we can most easily relate and actually do something, make a small note in our head to make a small change just in our daily habits.
Right. Yeah.
If I had to pick one thing for people to remember, it would be watch your thoughts. Your thoughts become words. Your words become actions. And so, you know, and it's all combined. So think to yourself, you know, I'm a productive / good / whatever person it is you desire to be. You know, and then live up to it. Talk to yourself that way. I'm worthy of respect. you know, or I'm kind, you know, I do good things, I help others, or, you know, whatever, I'm organized, you know, whatever it is, you tell yourself that, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, you keep telling yourself that, you know, I don't want to say fake it till you make it, but, you know, you got to train your brain, you know, you train,
right. train your brain.
Yeah, it's like rewiring hardware, okay, or, you know, rewiring an electrical
mm-hmm.
item, you
right.
know. You rewire.
Well, I really value the different people caught up in the AA and recovery movement and all these other, you know, movements attached to, like, AA, because much like what you're saying, you know, a lot of it involves, you know, retraining your, you know, your mind and just going beyond all that.
Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of people out there who start believing things that are basically learned junk. Learned junk from
mm-hmm.
other people in their words, sometimes hurtful comments. And it's not at all true, but somehow it kind of permeates their, you know, their being, and they start
mm-hmm.
believing it about themselves. And, you know, I hate to say that. So it's important. Know who you are. Talk to yourself with respect. Or talk to you. You know, your self-talk in your mind should not be negative. Or, oh, you're such a dummy. Or you'll never do this. Or you'll never do that. So talk to yourself like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, when you have good intentions, you think good things, you have good words, and you put good out to other people.
That's it. That's it. And if anything, you know, those who continue with their toxic behavior, they're just gonna continue to hurt themselves because they're passing on the behavior, and people can see it, and people can they're not gonna want to be a part of that or associate when they're, you know, unless that person is truly making an act of change to improve. But gosh, you know, you've got these people that are very toxic.
Yeah. But you know what? Even
mm-hmm.
toxic people don't have to be toxic people forever. Even toxic
That's
people.
That's right, but they have to
know,
change. They have to.
Yeah, toxic people can
change.
They have
change. To do the work. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do, yeah. Well, it looks like we just, like, talked through an entire hour there, Rev.
We did. Well, we could continue on, and we will in some future shows. I really appreciate what you've done and what you're doing, and we're going to sign out now, and thanks again. Prudence Coffee, folks, if there's anything that you'd like to say, you can contact me, and we're also on Warrior Wellness and Life World on Facebook, and send us a message. So take care. Thanks for being on, Prudence. Again, you've been on numerous shows, and we hope to have you again soon, whenever you wish. Thank you. And again, your healing message is very powerful during this time of year. So thank you.
Thanks for having me. Good night.
Good night. Okay, folks. Blessings. We end 1 week and we're getting ready for another week. Let's take on the Easter message of hope and newness. You know, Christ died, was buried, and will come again. As it said in the liturgy for some. Again, I'm not preaching to you, but I'm only preaching and sharing a message. Take that from your position, however that is, whether you have faith or no faith. We can look at people's lives and learn from them. That's all I'm saying with the things that I say. And blessings to everyone, and have a great night. Thank you.